Hi, I'm Suzanne Duckett. To celebrate the release of my new book, Bathe, I'm inviting you to journey with me and some very special guests as I look at and experience how bathing, including sound therapy, heat and mud, can all play a role in providing physical comfort, effortless contentment, and help ease away the blues. So today I am going to have a sound bath with Ward Thomas. Ward Thomas are twin sisters and they are country and western musicians. And they sing like angels. Listening to their music is like honey on your heart. It's amazing, it's therapy in itself. And because of their world of music, I thought it would be interesting to bring them in for a sound bath, which they've never had. And so it'd be very interesting to see how they react. And we are at Eel Apothecary in Kensington, London.
I went to the like safe places, you know, like your happy places. Nice. I literally went through like a little film.
And I can imagine if it's triggering childhood memories in your brain, I can imagine it being very helpful. The music career, nothing happens overnight, nothing happens straight away. And whenever we've done gigs, like the first gig that we ever did, I remember being on stage the whole time thinking and criticising everything that I'd just done instead of actually being present on that stage.
Yeah.
And it's taken years and years of us playing shows over and over and over again for me not to come off stage and be like, why did I say that? I shouldn't have said that. You should have done that.
Yeah.
So just making my way in, away from the noise. Wow. So the smell. So there's candles, there's incense, there's pink salts. And I'm just going up the steps here behind some grey curtains. I think my blood pressure's already gone down just walking in here. And there's a gong. Wow, that really is a proper full-on gong. It's gold and black and absolutely gorgeous. We are going to try sound therapy, and sound therapy, well, you'll hear all about it shortly, but it's a very interesting treatment, and it's supposed to help calm the nervous system, do a whole load of other things, but you've got to lie down and listen to the gong.
Hello! I'm
so sorry.
We are so sorry.
Late.
We're so late.
It's fine.
We got
are you stressed?
In...
Oh, well, it's one of those days where you're like... Do we
tea.
Drive? Do we,
tea.
Oh, thank you. Wow.
This is calming tea.
Oh my God.
Thank you. Normally we're always on time, but we got stuck in the worst traffic up the A3 today, and we were like, oh my God, there's nothing really? We can do about it.
You know, take a breath, catch your breath a bit before we get going. But it's going to be sort of spa podcasting all in one. Mobiles off.
Technology break.
So oh, wow. Do you know anything about this brand?
No, but I could do with a digital
detox.
Yes, well, couldn't we all? Should we go and get ready for our
yes,
gong?
That sounds
because
great.
Talking of vibration, we all vibrate at a particular level. If the vibration goes lower than about 60 hertz, I think we were talking about, your immune system is affected. And being in nature, listening to music, thank you, musicians, and things like the gong bath will help raise that vibration.
We're going to start. We're going to do about 20 minutes of sound healing today.
This is Sophie, by the way.
Yes, this is me.
Great, yeah.
So I'm a therapist here, and I also do sound healing. Today we're going to be playing the Chiron gong and the 432 bowl. Both of them resonate at a different resonancy, a different vibration, but they're very beneficial at helping bring up our vibration and bathing the body in healing sounds. Good for stress relief, setting new intentions, rebuilding one's energy, and healing any past trauma.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Do you think that's a bit of an antidote for being late and stuck
yes.
in traffic?
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely have a stress around lateness.
Yeah. Morning stress trauma.
Yeah. Oh yes, brilliant. Definitely.
And Sophie, we were just talking about what the vibration humans tend to vibrate at.
Yeah.
Is it about, so we were talking about 62 to 68. Does that
exactly.
sound about right?
It
hurts?
Exactly, 62 to 68.
And what's this going to bring us up to?
Well, the bowl is at 432.
Yes.
And then the Chiron gong is around 151.
We're like spinning tops, aren't we?
Yeah. It's not necessarily that our bodies will go up to that vibration, but it will be that it will help harmonise our bodies. And anything like in our lives, like yoga, clean food, clean water, being in nature, it's very good at helping support your vibrational power. Helping your health raise.
Before
we start, I'm just going to ask you to take some of our homeopathic drops. In here we have passiflora, wild poppy essence, aconite, which is very good for stress and fear. You just take a few drops underneath your tongue and it will really help the nervous system settle.
It's
good.
Homeopathic.
And then just take a little bit of this balm. You can put a little bit on your third eye and a little bit on your heart center. And this is... Well, you've been rushing this morning, so this is really good for bringing the energy down. And this is our Calm Butterflies Balm. We also use this for palpitations and any pain in the body. It's got arnica in, so also very calming.
We used to always, our mum used to always give us arnica when we fell off our horse when we were younger. Yeah,
on the heart, are you putting it on our hearts?
On your heart, yeah. And your third eye.
When you say third eye, do you mean
the teeth?
So, exactly, just... temples is good too, actually, especially for headaches, but just a few inches above the brow line. And lastly, before you lie down, let's just do a few deep breaths. So you can take a little bit of I'll Speak Your Truth aroma roller. Good for artists, actually. And rub it between your palms. Cup your hands over your nose and mouth and just take some deep breaths into the lower belly.
As you do that, just slow down the breath.
Take three deep breaths into your lower belly and imagine that you're breathing in that intention with the breath.
Right.
Oh,
that is so nice. The gongs and the vibrations, like I went so many places in my head.
Did you?
Yeah, literally. Oh. It was like, oof. Oh, that was so nice.
God, when I opened my eyes, it was so bright.
Yeah.
I was just like,
where am I?
I can't believe we're in the middle of London.
I know.
It's so.
We can't hear any
hustle and bustle. Mm.
Oh, thank you. Ooh. Oh, you probably definitely heard that bit of crunch.
Mm.
Mm.
So, how are you feeling?
I feel completely spaced out.
Mm.
But in a really,
I feel
so calm.
Yeah, it's sort of a nice in between, isn't it? Mm. Being alert and relaxed.
Yeah.
I feel relaxed. That is, I feel very relaxed, definitely. Yeah. I feel like...
I think that folk, like, it's... I think the main thing is the awareness.
Mm.
Like when you're sort of normally doing your everyday life, you're not really aware of anything that's going on around you.
And I think that's why time goes so fast. We're just saying, you know, that this year's gone, last year's gone so quickly. Mm. I think that's because we are running, we're always thinking ahead, aren't we? And so how do you stay in the present moment when you're constantly thinking of the next album, the next songwriting, you're thinking about what you're how do you relax?
Always, and also always thinking about, you know, your social media and the, you know, how your album's going to do and all that kind of stuff. We do practice mindfulness and we've got this app called Calm.
Yeah, I think.
Mm-hmm. And we also do actually light candles and have a bath now and then.
Good.
As well, which I think
I'm very pleased to hear that.
Yeah, I think for us, because the more people that I've talked to about mindfulness and about relaxation and about meditation is that every sort of different work, like different things work for different people. And something that I find the most calming, I remember someone saying to me, like, how do you rest? And I remember thinking rest means just going to sleep, but then they were like, rest is like anything that fuels your sort of creativity and your, you know. And I think that what we learn as well is we write a lot with a girl called Rebecca Powell, and she's very much into, she calls it a sit spot, where she sits in nature for 20 minutes, and it's a meditation, but, and every morning she likes to sort of write on a piece of paper just everything that she's thinking, even if it's blah, 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 because it helps fuel her creativity and sort of almost empty her brain ready to be creative. And
absolutely.
I think,
yeah.
I find dog walking, like we have dogs and we take them out, even when it's really blustery and we leave our phones at home and we just sort of, 20 minutes of completely being in that present moment is just such a...
I find being with animals is the most mindful practice. I love being with horses and animals.
But you are proper country girls, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, in every way.
Mm. Yeah.
Excuse the pun, but you... So you're... Have you always lived... It's Hampshire, is that the case?
Yes.
So you've always lived there, have you?
We've always lived in Hampshire.
Local pub,
kind of. You've got country girl skin, you really have. You've not got I tour around the world and, you know, do...
No.
Yeah,
music
we tend to
and release albums and have millions of people watching and listening to me.
Oh, well, you see us after a tour, then you'll probably say something different.
Yeah, we do look very tired and we have bags under our eyes. Because
after a tour, yeah.
But we tend to sort of schedule our tour around where we can stop and have breaks. And because we're on a sleeper bus, which is a necessary evil, we do not like sleeping on it, but it means that when you're in the new city, you have the whole day there. And a lot of the time we get day rooms where we can go and have a sauna or have a steam, and it really helps us, you know, get our skin back to health and help
and
our breathing.
Vocal cords as
well. Gosh, it's amazing. You really are sort of millennial, mindful moguls of music, basically.
I think so.
And you've got each other, of course, when you're on tour. Who's the oldest, by the way?
Catherine
only
is.
2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Catherine's by, and
she
does
make. Does she make that clear all the time?
In certain situations, but if it's, you know, losing things like the passport or travelling, then I take the lead because
Lizzie's more organised than me, but I'm quite sort of the way that my brain works, which is why I think mindfulness is so important for me specifically, is I'm so impulsive. Like, I'm such an impulsive personality. Mm. And actually owning a horse, I bought a horse recently. And
that's
because
you had to get out first.
Yeah.
Get out first.
Exactly.
You know, you had to be,
And I want everything now. And I have to teach myself patience. And having a horse has really taught me patience. But also, the music career, nothing happens overnight. Nothing happens straight away. And whenever we've done gigs, like the first gig that we ever did, I remember being on stage the whole time thinking and criticising everything that I'd just done instead of actually being present on that stage.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's taken years and years of us playing shows over and over and over again for me not to come off stage and be like, why did I say that? I shouldn't have said that. You should have done that.
Yes.
And
it's adrenaline.
Like,
I still
like
do that.
Do you do that now?
I still go on stage being like, what if I do this? The what ifs. The kind of, what if I say something stupid? What if I forget a lyric? What if I fall on my face kind of thing? And I still need to learn and teach my mind to actually know I'm going to enjoy being on stage. I'm going to be in the present moment.
Yes.
And
doesn't the music, in a way, don't you lose yourself in the music? So that is a good thing, because then maybe you're not being as critical, but then maybe you're not present. So that's quite a tricky battle. I think people do that, whether you're playing music, whether you're on a computer, whether you're driving a car, you know, that's the answer, isn't it, now, is to try and be in the present but still be getting on with what you're doing.
I think especially with music, like, you even see it with lyrics. If you don't know a lyric logically, like, I couldn't speak back a lyric that we wrote right now, but if I sang into it, I would know what the lyric is, because I think our bodies naturally sort of lead into the next moment, and we kind of lose ourselves in the rhythm of what we're singing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the music industry goes so against that, and everything about being relevant and writing music that gets on radio and all of that sort of very much high pressure takes away the creative process of being in the moment and being and enjoying everything.
And writing things that you actually feel and you actually mean, and a lot of people don't. Yeah.
Isn't it? And that's what we've just experienced.
Yeah.
You know, we are a vibration, as we heard Sophie, the gong practitioner. She was saying, you know, about our vibrations, and we're, you know, the intelligence that we've got going on in our bodies is amazing. When the mind comes in to try and overtake and get in the way, that's when it all starts to go a bit pear-shaped, doesn't it? And why country, though? Because, I mean, to me, and I have to say, there's a bit of synchronicity, because I'm from Scotland, so we all hail from Scotland. And now I was doing a bit of research. I've always loved country. My mother played country when I was growing up, and I always knew what sort of mood she was in, depending on what, whether it's Val Dudekin or Dolly Parton or, those old
Patsy cobweb
people. Yeah, and then I was doing a bit more research because I knew I was meeting you girls and I wanted to sound like I knew what I was talking about rather than just how what I felt. And I believe that it hails, country originally came from Scotland, Ireland, that part of the world.
It does.
It went over to the States with the immigrants and became the Nashville
country.
Sort of belonging.
Yeah.
So is that true?
It
or
is
am I just
true.
Trying to make
yeah,
it Scottish?
Yeah, the Hall of Fame in Nashville actually teaches you all about that. It comes from our side of the world.
That's
so
amazing.
Yeah, if you go to Nashville, the Hall of Fame does take you through the process of where country music came from, and it does originate from the British Isles and folk music, and then obviously with the southern twang, that's
so
how you got country.
It's so interesting because I've always felt, and I don't know whether because it's a childhood thing, and it's played so much to me as a child, that it makes me feel really comforted, and there's such a story, isn't there? There's such storytelling in. I mean, all music, of course, but in the stories of country and western, there's such storytelling, isn't there? And where do you think that, where do you get it from? Are your parents, your family, how you end up in that genre?
Well, both our parents were in a band together, and we grew up on a farm, and I think when we naturally heard country music like the Dixie Chicks and Watch Walk the Line, you know, Johnny Cash and June Carter, and I think it naturally resonated with us, and I think our whole family are storytellers ourselves, like, our grandmother was a writer, and we've always loved to tell stories, and I think that's one of the main aspects of country music that really made us want to write our own style. But we didn't want to create it in the American way. We wanted it from our British perspective, and I think we've done that. And
I think also we're very deep thinkers, we're very deep feelers, and country music is all about being authentic and writing about real things, and it just sort of naturally resonates with us when something big happens in our life, or when we're feeling very, very much close to someone else who's going through something, the first thing we want to do is write about it. And it's a real healer.
So they say in the middle of their tears, don't write about this.
Yeah, they're
oh,
we can't be friends
with
the songwriter. But it's more like just sort of the creativity that life has, I think, and something that we've noticed by living in the countryside and having that very much rural lifestyle is that it's such a contrast from so much of the music world when we're playing all these different clubs around the country and then we go back to the most quiet, remote place ever. Mm. It's such a creative
process. Like when we're writing the songs, we are in that quiet place. We are in the countryside or in Nashville or we always choose to write in the countryside
in
or
nature.
In nature because that's where we feel most creative and free, basically.
Yeah, and we were talking about it yesterday, actually, because different people are fueled by different things, I think. Just the same as they say extroverts, they get more sort of energy from being around people, and introverts get energy from being alone. Mm-hmm. And I think that some people get much more energy from being in the countryside, and some people get much more energy from being the buzz and the hustle and bustle.
It's a different energy, though, isn't
it?
And
different.
I think both, if you're not careful, if you have too much of one.
Yeah, exactly.
Too much country energy might make you feel like, I need that frisson of buzz of a city.
Mm,
and
completely.
Then obviously the buzz of a city can be absolutely exhausting. And, and how do you handle that adrenalised side of the business when you are, we've talked about the sort of the fun energy and the buzz and the excitement, but that burnout, do you get to that? I mean, I think millennials, because of social media we're talking as well, that you can almost have like a digital burnout. So you've got that to cope with, and the travel, and the adrenaline from being performers. What's your antidote? What do you do to
like
bring that down?
To bring that down?
Yeah.
Well,
I think that, I think me and Lizzie are different in a little bit in this way, because I think that I feel more energised when I'm doing, and something that I find quite hard work about touring is there's a lot of waiting around. Mm. So when I get home, I like to be busy doing stuff, and that makes me feel better. If I sit and spend the entire day on the sofa, I feel more tired and more glum by the end of the day.
Right.
I feel that too.
Lizzie's very similar in that way, but we sort of do things in a different way.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, I think
so. You'd have to go out and do some exercise, maybe.
Lizzie's probably more like needs to do the adrenaline exercise, and I probably need to do more slow, like get it, like doing jobs that make me feel like I've done
really?
Jobs.
Or like tick off a to-do list.
Yeah.
So what do you mean? What by adrenaline? Something dangerous, or do you What do you do? Or do you just
Just like go for a run or go for a horse ride or.
Okay, so you have to almost discharge that energy by doing something quite vigorous.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Or like, or some, like a mixture of both, really. Kind of like, kind of also learning to relax and sitting down and actually like. Oh, I always struggle with the kind of feeling of, because our job is very busy, 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 or we're not that busy. So it's kind of like a very unpredictable schedule, up and down. So when we're having the down moments, I always feel guilty for like, oh my God, but why aren't we busy? Like, and I get stressed that why aren't we busy? That's just the nature.
Do you think technology has made that worse? Because
definitely
you're never off because you're looking at what other people are doing and you're comparing and you're seeing what they're doing that you're not
completely
what you're doing that they're not and how do you what do you have allocated time when you go on social media? Do you just sometimes mainline it and then go, oh, I feel really toxic, or do you have any rituals around?
We both
because I think what I found is that I suit a routine, and I think a lot of people suit a routine, even if it's making sure that you give yourself time in the morning to practice mindfulness, and if it's the same time every day. And I think that that's the main thing our job lacks, is routine in any way. We're always doing here, there, and everywhere with something else. So I definitely get to a point where I'm sat on social media and I'm feeling like I haven't done or achieved enough today. And then you go on social media and you see everyone else has done so much better than you, and you feel horrible. And
even though you know that's all totally
fabricated, it's all a filter. It's all a filter of one, of like one part of the day, and like you don't like you don't initially think that. You just initially think, oh, they're doing this and that, and they're doing so much better than me at the moment.
I think but we naturally compare their highlights with our bad moments instead of understanding that if I was to look at my Instagram feed objectively, then I would think, wow, I'm having the best time all the time.
Sure.
And I think it's just important to.
But well, yeah, it goes with that thought of like, I was talking about this with someone the other day about how you naturally think of the negative before the success, rather than if you were successful in a certain area, you forget about the success, but you think about the negative niggles.
Yes.
And it's like the glass half empty, glass half full thing, you know? It's like live with the glass half full more than the glass half empty.
Well, they did a study where they got half a group of people and they told the group that it was a glass half full, and then they told another group that it was half empty. And apparently they asked them to try and see it differently, and the people that saw the glass initially as half full could easily imagine it's half empty, but the people that saw the glass as half empty found it much harder to transition into that positive, oh, it's now half full.
They need some gong therapy.
Yeah.
They need to bathe in sound, as far as I'm concerned. They need to listen to some country western, or they need to put on some mantras.
Yeah.
Do you ever listen to mantras, by the way?
No.
To raise the vibe. You know, we need to raise the vibe, don't we? Mm. And if I'm in the car and I have one of those days, you know, no one lets you out. And you kind of go from being quite a good mood, it's like, just, no one's letting me out. I hate everyone. I'm not going to. And it's, no, I'm not going to allow them to lower my vibe.
Yeah.
I'm going to make my vibe go even higher. And in fact, I'm going to get out of my way to let people out.
Yeah.
And that works.
And it's funny as well, isn't it? Because, I mean, if you let someone out, you're going to probably lose like a meter on the road. But people think they're going to, you know, no one does it. It's crazy.
I have a very exaggerated, I kind of do a kind of, you know, like, after you. Like and they kind of wave going, thanks. And I think it makes them think about it. Because
it really
we're
does.
All in it together, aren't we? And do you find as well that's quite useful, the sense of community when you're touring?
Mm.
Obviously, I say you have got each other, which is probably, you know, huge. I mean, can you imagine doing what you did on your own?
Never.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I have so much respect for people who do it on their own, because we are so good for each other as well on the road. We always pull each other up on things, but we also are such a support, because it's like taking a little bit of home with you away. Mm. But yeah, the community is very important. Oh, tea is just so, thank you so much. Here you go, I'll pass that on to you.
Oh, look at this, it's all golden,
thank you.
It's like some sort of nectar.
I know, do you know what this reminds me of? Is, you know Mary Poppins, when she's just a spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down.
Oh, you see, that was an absolutely that film.
Oh.
Oh, joy. So where were we? It's getting lost in my cup of tea.
Oh, yeah.
So your togetherness is important. I know quite a few twins, actually, but the ones I know are identical. You're
We are non-identical.
I mean, I can tell you're not, but you might have said no, it's just our different hairstyles. And
We were conceived in a test tube, so we are literally unnatural as you can.
Oh, but you can't say that.
We are test tube babies.
We're the miracle of
or
science.
Or the petri dish babies.
Amazing. Mm. I love that. But you know what? The thing is, what's really interesting about that is that the magic of conception is the bit that no scientist can do.
Yeah, so true.
They can get taxis for the sperm and the eggs, that's what we're talking about here, but they can't make the actual conception happen.
Yeah, isn't
so
that
that's
amazing?
That's the divine intervention that they can't do.
It's magic. Yeah.
By the way, so carry that with you both.
Thank you. So
the twin thing, the twins I know do struggle with a sense of self, a sense of individuality, and I think not only, and I'd love to hear from you, not only because of them being twins and their own opinion of each other and the twin thing, but it's how other people treat them.
And they're probably referred to as the twins.
And saying both names because they don't want to get it wrong, and they haven't taken the time to necessarily understand them as individuals. Because I think if you know them as individual, then you don't see them being as alike.
I'm glad you brought that up, because me and Catherine, you know, we're very, we're best friends, but we have struggled through that our whole lives.
Because we're different, we're two different people, but we're always put into the same box of the twins. And
if we were similar, we wouldn't be as close as we are. But we're always known as the twins, and as the kind of like if, and also with each other, like if one of, and we all have the same friends as well, we both have the same friends, but if one of us makes a separate friend and they invite one of us out,
It would feel odd.
It would be like, oh.
Does that ever happen then?
So it's funny because we've written about this a lot in our new album as well, and the reason why it's called Restless Minds is because we're very much about how we have learned to live with very restless minds. Everyone around us is very restless. It's all a bit of a sort of go, go, go culture now. And
It's a brilliant album. Brilliant.
Thank you.
But
with, as twins, not only have we grown up together as twins, put in the same box, but we now work together and live together and tour together and have the same friends.
And
yeah, that is our 100%. Fault. It's completely our fault.
Yeah. But it's like a lot of twins that we know, they sort of find their identity much later on in life than sort of single children. I don't know if there's a technical term for non-twins. But they find their identity if they go to school and they're in their own year and they're in their own class.
Yeah.
But we were very much in the same classes, and we didn't go to university, so we didn't go to separate universities and spend 3 years apart from each other. So we were very much in it. So our identity differences, even though from a very young age we were very different, and our parents were very conscious about never giving us the same clothes for birthdays and always making sure that we had our own tastes.
You didn't get all the pink things, you got all the yellow things,
exactly.
Like that.
Yeah, although actually, funnily enough, I had a pink room, Lizzie had a yellow room.
Oh, that is so weird.
When we first,
really?
We shared a room for a long time, and then we...
Yeah.
But,
I didn't tell you I was psychic, did I?
Yeah. But I think that identity is a really, like, finding your sense of self as a twin is a real challenge, because, like, the first time you walk into a pub and you're on your own, it's like you take for granted all these things that you did together that you suddenly do on your own, and it's like things that people will find very normal if you're not a twin.
Yes.
So like,
especially like your first day at school, like we did that together. We did everything together. So
I went off to Africa for 6 weeks on my own without Catherine, and it was the longest time we've ever been apart.
Goodness.
And the only time, well, one of the
we
only
barely spoke.
Yeah, we barely spoke.
Really?
Yeah. Barely spoke, because it was kind of like it was needed in a way. But also we do go through the thing that I'm sure a lot of twins can relate to. We do compare each other. We compare, even though we're so different.
Yes.
If Catherine's like, you know, good at this thing or that thing, and I'm not, I immediately think that, is it because am I stupid? But it's no. But that's ridiculous.
Which you wouldn't do as well. Maybe
which you probably wouldn't
do
that
as well. But it's obviously much much harder when you're a twin because you've got direct.
Yeah, I think also if you go to a gathering and one person's brought a cake, you wouldn't turn around to everyone else and go, why didn't you bring a cake?
But I've got some very dear friends and they have twins, and one of their twins has Downs. And that's been a really interesting journey, because you talk about the comparisons and sort of like, you know, where you should be at a certain stage. But this gorgeous human being, Jen, has just made the family.
Mm.
And her, I mean, you know, it's amazing. So it'll be interesting to see as they grow up, you know, how that relationship will work. But it's fascinating, really fascinating.
Yeah, it is fascinating.
Yeah, and gorgeous.
Especially like massive
she
sort
loves
of
music
life
as well.
Events. Oh, yeah. Mm. Like big life events that we've had in our past and potentially in our future, whether it be the sort of big life events of going to school or like maybe one day one of us getting married or...
Yeah,
you just don't know how it's going to work. And when it's twins, everyone always would naturally be like, oh, so when's your big day? Or it's just, you know, it's about, I guess it's just about trying to remember that we're two separate people, although we do everything together.
Yeah. I think it's really admirable how aware you are of these things. And because I'm not a Googler, I don't like doing loads of Google research before I meet people because it's not organic. But how old are you?
We're 24.
Yeah, it's 24. So... if I knew what you knew when I was your age, things would be different, you know, and I'm not saying better or worse, but they would have been different. I mean, probably around your age, I started to be really getting into it, but just starting to think there's something in this mindfulness, because back then, it definitely wasn't as trendy as it is now. But it's amazing, and I think it's going to help you have longevity in your careers.
Definitely.
And cope with it, to not go off the rails, and you'll always be able to, I feel, always be able to get yourself back in balance, whether that's a hot bath, whether that's coming to do some sound therapy, because you think you're hooked on the gong now,
think
you're doing
it
again.
Didn't know what to expect. It was amazing. I think that it's one of those things that's kind of like you have to do it to sort of really understand it, and I don't think I could do it justice if I talked about it.
I have to say it really like made me go places in my mind, like literally. I don't know why, but I literally went to little pictures.
The science is growing now about it, what it does, but it has the resonation, the vibration does have an effect on the brain. So
because it took me, I was like a little girl again. I went to the like safe places, you know, like your happy places. Nice. I literally went through like a little film. Montage in my head.
For like trauma, because I remember hearing about the sort of trauma that you can heal through sound therapy, and I can imagine if it's triggering childhood memories in your brain, I can imagine it being very helpful.
Yeah, well, it's held in the cells, you see.
Yeah,
everything is held in our cells. Yeah, everything, not just genetic feedback, but emotional feedback.
Right. It is. So it does trigger like the good memories, the bad memories, but like kind of going, I don't know, it was funny.
So when you say you went to a safe place,
yes,
that sound, do you have other music instruments or do you sound to help you go to that place in
that
other
place
occasions?
Yeah, I guess, the two places that I went, I went to a few places. Like I went to one place when I was a kid with one of my first horses, and I was like lying down in the paddock with this horse, and there was goats there and everything, and I think there wasn't any music there, but I also went back kind of into Africa.
Journey of the music from the gong took you
I took my guitar to Africa, and I played my guitar to chimpanzees.
Did you?
Which was really, really...
How did that affect them?
They loved it. There was one chimp called Chiffon. He especially loved it, and he used to dance. It was country music. It was most, you know, you couldn't really dance to it, but he used to like go in the rhythm.
Did he?
He used to go on the bars. And then there was also a time where I was singing George Ezra Budapest to a whole bunch. They all sat there like this, and they were swaying. And then I tried to play Shake It Off by Taylor Swift. I think it was a little bit too upbeat for them, because they all just went mad.
Did they?
They went and like ripped branches off the trees and went,
wow.
You know, apart from one, which carried on being there, and she was
rocking.
Called Madonna, funnily enough.
Madonna,
like, there's a reason why you're called Madonna.
Taylor Swift,
it's funny how chimps, they must have rhythms as well in their bodies, just like all animals.
Of course.
Yeah.
They're like, so close to us. My in-laws have just been to Borneo hanging out with chimps and orangutans. They are very close to us.
Yeah, I think that's the reason why I took my guitar, because I was really fascinated by like how, you know, apes react to music and you know, and stuff that we react to, sounds and music and.
Well, I'm sure that like there must be something in our sort of fight or flight
response.
Brains that we're so much around sounds, like even with horses, they're very much flight animals and they're very sensitive to sound
in order
to survive. So I bet there must be something about sounds that trigger different sort of reactive things in us.
It goes back to the energy, because I've done equine therapy, which is really, really interesting. And because horses really, especially horses, are very much, it's not necessarily the sound, it's the energy, so yeah. the vibration of fear. So they feel fear.
They're so reflective, aren't they?
Stress. They yeah. feel a child's energy compared to that. That's why they act differently yeah. around. So if you've, you know, the typical thing, if you're scared of a horse, it'll bolt.
Because yeah,
they're
yeah.
thinking, well, I'm freaked out yeah. by you. So it's energy.
They love
I could
it
talk
when
to you
talk.
Guys for hours. We might need to do another podcast.
Yeah,
this is just that, fascinating. Definitely. I think I'm learning so much from you. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you both so much for joining me today.
Thank you
to have a gong
us.
Bath yeah. at Eel Apothecary in Kensington, London. We could be anywhere. We could be in Sri Lanka, we could be in India, we could yeah. be in Thailand right now. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I'm anywhere.
Yeah,
it's been
we
a
really
in London. So
I've forgotten yeah. that we're even in London.
So a little gem in the middle of the city. So thanks again, and hey, same time, same place, another
yes,
time.
Definitely.
Thank you so much for having us.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Girls.
Do join me in the next episode, where I'm going to be joined by Claire Sanderson, the editor of Women's Health magazine. We're going to be trying a very curious treatment called Poetry in Water at the Acacia Spa at the Hotel Café Royal.
You know, what helps you shake off that girl that doesn't feel she's good enough and isn't successful enough?
I think age helps. I think I'm more comfortable in being clear. The older I get, I'm less self-conscious about how I look, and the more successful, for instance, my brand is, then you have to start believing in it.
Absolutely.
But sadly, it's never going to go away. I'm always going to feel a bit inferior.
Yeah.
Always going to. I've lived with low-level depression my whole life.
Really?
It all got life-threateningly worrying when I was 27, and if I hadn't gone into hospital, I may well have taken my own life.
So we're talking potential suicide?
Yes,
right.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
That level of depression.
Yes, yes. One of the reasons why I went into hospital in the end was I was planning to take my own life, and I'd already been told by my psychiatrist, you need to come into hospital, but I wasn't sectioned, you know, because you have to be a danger to society. He wasn't sectioning me, so I refused, saying, oh, no one wants to go into a psychiatric hospital. And then a week later of really orchestrating how I was going to take my own life, I realised something needs to be done here. So I went into hospital because I was fantasising about crashing my own car.
Thank you for listening to the Bathe podcast. You can always jump onto the website, lovetobathe.co.uk, where you'll find lots of other tips and tricks and other bathing recipes and therapies. Thank you very much to the Acacia Centre and Spa, and to my publishers Bonnier Books, and of course to my producer Lisa Mannering.